Friendship is one of the greatest joys in life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not been a great friend. When I was growing up, my best friend was my brother. My brother Ace, he's my half-brother, and we had a really good relationship, but when he first came to America, we weren't really that close. We fought all the time, we argued all the time, but one day a bully was picking on me, and my brother came out of nowhere. I had no idea where he came from, and he beat that bully up for me. And from that moment on, we were thick as thieves. We're best friends. I wouldn't have got through that adversity without my brother. You know, through his life, he struggled with different things, and I've been a voice for him. He's been a voice for me. We've always been springboards for one another. And so friendship is very important. It's one of the most compelling things that you can have as a human being. And so, again, the teaching series is not about how you're going to get that best friend, but really it's about how to maintain that friendship and what Christ looks at us to do within our friendships. And so as friends, the friends that you have, you can be the most confident man in the world, but what you have to be with your friends is humble. When you're a humble person, you're there to celebrate with that friend, but you're also there to weep with that friend. One example you have the President of the United States, for instance, who always has to be the most powerful man in the world. You know, no matter what president it is, they have to be powerful. They have to be strong. They can't show any weaknesses. But behind doors, that first lady, that wife that they have, that's their best friend, the person that they weep with and the person that they celebrate with. And as Christians, we have issues with that sometimes. As normal human beings, we have issues on celebrating with friends or weeping with friends. One of the examples Poyo gave me earlier this week when I was talking with him is sometimes you'll have a friend and they're at your level and you guys are struggling together. But one day they start to excel. And rather than us celebrating with that friend, we say, why are they getting this, God? Why am I not getting it? I'm so much more worthy than them. Why are they getting this? And in that situation, we have to humble ourselves. God blessed them with this particular thing, and you may be blessed with something else. And so we have to make sure that we accept our friends for who they are. We love them, we care, we cherish them. But also what we have to do as friends is serve. When you have a friend, it's not always what they can do for you, but also what you can do for one another. And you also have to allow yourself to serve. Oftentimes I'll invite a friend of mine out to dinner and I won't let them pay for themselves. I'll always pay. Even when I don't have any money, I'll pay for that friend. But sometimes you have to let yourself be served. You can't always say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. You have to allow yourself to be served. Also, as a friend, we're here to understand or listen. When a friend has a problem, they don't necessarily want you to come up with a solution, but sometimes we just want somebody to listen. The example that we have is when you have a friend of yours who's drowning, they don't want you to say, hey, start kicking your feet. You know, kick your feet a little bit faster. Hold your head above water. That's not really going to help them when they're drowning, because they're in a panicking situation. Really what they need you to do, what they want you to do, is stick your hand out and help pull them out of the water. We don't always have to have a solution for our friends. Sometimes we just have to be there when they need us, just to listen or just to lend a helping hand. Also empathizing, that's very important as a friend, because we go back to the example of being able to rejoice or being able to weep with our friends. When we have that friend who's going through a bad time, you don't want to say, man, she really needs to stop going out with all those guys. Or, man, he really needs to stop, you know, cheating on this or doing this and doing that. Sometimes we just need somebody as a friend to listen to us, to understand that we have faults and that we have flaws, to understand that we make mistakes. That's one of the most important things as a friend, just to understand that person's position, not judge them. And if we have friends who do that, then we're more willing to open up and be actual human beings with them and not try to be perfect all the time. And the fourth thing about being a friend is just loving. You know, love is blind, love is kind. You can say all these great things about love, but just like God, love is. It's something that is unconditional. When we have friends and if you open yourself up and allow yourself to love and be loved, you can have that special friendship. And so the scripture that we have today is John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he went for some time with them, and he baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Anna and Salim, because there was plenty of water and people who were coming and being baptized. This is before John the Baptist was sent to jail. And an argument developed between John's disciples and a certain Jew over a matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, why was this man who's on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him?" And this is one of those situations where John the Baptist can say, "I'm out here baptizing and he's over here stealing my thunder." But John the Baptist knows that he was called to set the path for Jesus Christ. He wasn't called to surpass him, but called just to lay the groundwork for it. And then John replied to him, "A person can only receive what is given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I say that I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." Oftentimes we'll have a companion who we're working with. I call them projects I take on, friends who are struggling with something and they just need a little boost. And you have this friend that you're trying to help out and you're trying to get them to where they want to be in life. They want to get a house. And so you try to help them set up a plan to, you know, stop going out as much and save money to get a house. Or, you know, they want to get in school. And so you want to help them study for their tests, help them figure out what exactly they need to do to get in school. And that person goes to school. They get a bachelor's degree. They get a master's degree. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They have a master's degree? I only have a bachelor's. Why, as Christians or just as human beings, would we envy the prosperity of our friends, especially if we help them get there, if we pave the way for our friends? If we have people who are doing bad in their lives, we don't push them down further. So why, when we have a friend of ours who's doing well, do we try to bring them back down? Why do we not continue to uplift them and help them, join them in what they're doing? All the time I'm looking on Facebook and I see people post these memes about T.D. Jakes. He's got a church of 10,000 people. It's not right for him to have 10,000 people in his church. Joel Osteen, he can't be preaching the word of God if he has 10,000 people in the church. But we're not called. We are called to bring more people to God. It's not about, I'm going to bring 5 or 6 people. I'm going to, you know, invest this, and this in them. But I'm going to bring more people to God. We can't be envious because he has 10,000 people in his church. We can't say, well, his message can't be right because he has, you know, 10,000 people there. You know, it's, what is he doing to get all these people there, you know? Maybe there's something I can do to add to my ministry, to make my ministry stronger, so I can do more for God, so I can bring more people to God. And so why do we struggle with these things as Christians or a regular human being? Again, I keep using the example of regular human being because this isn't a problem that Christians alone face. It's a problem that everybody faces with friendship. And so one of the things that we struggle with is pride. We have someone who's prosperous, you know, or we have someone who's not doing well in life. And if they're prosperous, why not me? If they're not doing well in life, they're not really doing well. So maybe I shouldn't associate with them. You know, that man on the side of the road stinks, so I'm not going to bring him a burger. I'm going to stay as far away from him as possible. I'm not going to let my kids play with this person, you know, who doesn't have a lot of money because I don't want my kids to know what it's like to be poor. And we can't think of it that way. Well, that's pride talking in that situation. What we are called to do, again, in this situation is love. Accept people as they are and accept ourselves for who we are. Don't think just because someone else has more than us that we're less. Don't let it hurt your pride and attack you. Just understand that God loves you too, and God has a purpose and a plan for you as well. And you may not be doing as well right now, but you could be doing a whole lot worse. And in the future, God might have something much better for you in store. Also, we are full of sin. As Christians, nobody is perfect. We all have flaws. And again, one of the biggest sins that we have is pride. You know, or looking down on people. Christ said, "As we do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me." And with that, if we have a poor person, a person who's not doing as well in life, we can't turn our backs to them. We can't not love them. As human beings, we are full of sin. And because we're full of sin, we have to make sure we continue to work to be better, stronger Christians. It's not that we're out, you know, murdering people. It's not that we're out doing bad things, but it's those little things, you know. like coveting another a neighbor's property, coveting a neighbor's wife. Why does this guy keep getting all the hot chicks all the time? Why does this girl get the most handsome guys? She doesn't deserve it. She's not nice. She's not cute. Why would we envy the prosperity of another person? I see people doing that all the time. They'll have a wife, but they're upset that somebody else has a prettier wife, you know, or, you know, they're happy in their marriage, but they're upset that somebody else is happier. We should be happy with the things that we've been blessed with. And looking back on John's reply to what the Jews were saying, they said a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. When Pollo gave me this scripture to read, I kind of struggled with this line. I was just, you know, trying to figure out exactly what it meant. And I was looking online, trying to figure out exactly what, you know, what John the Baptist meant when he said that. And what he's saying is, I've been blessed with what I've been blessed with. God has given to me what he's given to me, and he's given to this man what he's given to this man. If he's blessed this person to have more, if he hasn't blessed this person as much and they have less, I can look at them. I shouldn't look at them as a lesser person. I shouldn't love them any less. I shouldn't be envious and hope that they fail in what they're doing for God or what they're doing in their own personal lives. And the third way we fail is selfishness. What about me, God? I've worked really hard. Why didn't I get this promotion? Why did he get that promotion? What about me, God? You know, why do I always have to, you know, give everything to my friends when they give nothing to me? Friendship isn't always a two-way street. You just have to make sure that you're giving and you're loving and you're caring. Because at the same time you're giving and loving to that one person, someone else is giving and loving and caring to you. And so some of the ways that we can overcome the struggle is first being humble. Humble yourself before God and humble yourself before your friends. Don't be afraid to weep for your friends. Don't be afraid to weep to your friends also. You don't always have to be that strong person. Oftentimes you'll have a friend who say, he doesn't have any problems. Nothing's wrong with him, you know, when you're weeping inside also. So don't be afraid to weep to your friends, because that's what God gave us other human beings for. So we have somebody to comfort us. So we have somebody to weep with us, someone to celebrate with us. Also being selfless, giving unto others without consideration for yourself. Give, love, and care about those around you. Also, we need to repent and to acknowledge the sins that we're committing. You know, pray to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness for coveting what your neighbor has. Pray to God, you know, just accepts you for who you are, because God does accept you for who you are. It's a matter of us accepting ourselves for who we are. Also, live love. That's one of the greatest philosophies of this church, and that's why I continue to go here, because that's the greatest message of Christ, is to love one another. That's what God is. God is love. And so I really love that this church has really pushed that message out to its people. It's not about judging people for the sins they commit, but it's about loving people for who they are. And so again, the application, repent, remember, and live love. And so some of the words for reflection, we had some scripture that, you know, I was looking at earlier this week, and it's, you know, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's an important message to take today from this message. Make sure you're celebrating with your friends. Make sure you're celebrating with yourself. Don't think, I got all this stuff, so something must be wrong. Something bad's going to happen. You know, life's about yin yang. If you have this good stuff, something bad's going to happen in your life for sure. That's not always the case. Just accept what you have and be happy. Rejoice with yourself and rejoice with others. And weep with yourself and weep with others. Open up yourself and empathize with your friends, your family, and your loved ones. The next is a friend who loves at all times and kinfolk. I'm sorry, a friend loves at all times and kinfolk are born to share adversity. When you have your friends, you love that person all the time. One of the things that makes or breaks a friendship is adversity. I always talk to friends of mine about marriages and about relationships and about friendships. And some of the best things that you can do is teamwork activities. You do things where you have to struggle a little bit to get through them, you know, so you can see how that person reacts in a struggle. But also you can learn to work with that person through a struggle. And so when something really bad happens, you know how to get through it together. You know how that other person thinks. You know how you can rely on them, and you know you can rely on another person. And so understand that there will always be adversity in friendships. There will always be adversity in relationships, because that's just life. We just have to learn to work through those, to pray through those things.